Hello and welcome to the Sleeper 2022 podcast series. This is a series of conversations with the major players in the world of hospitality experience and design. Today, I'm delighted to introduce Dimitris Karampatakis, who along with his brother Konstantinos, established K-Studio in Athens some 10 years ago. And I have in my hands right now a hefty tome entitled Experience that showcases in beautiful laid-back style key projects from that first decade. Hospitality design is an important part of what K-Studio do, and I first came across them when they started to win at the AHEAD Awards. AHEAD are Sleeper Magazine's awards for hospitality experience and design, and the European edition is now in its 20th year. Dexamenes Seaside Hotel, a project Dimitris will surely mention, is a beach resort with a difference. A difference that saw it shortlisted in two categories at AHEAD Europe, winning the Best Suite Award. Then, in the global finale, it won not only the Creative Conversion Award, but also the trophy for the best of the best in 2020, the ultimate accolade. On the back of this, I'm delighted to say that Dimitris has agreed to be our keynote speaker at Sleeper Sessions in Mykonos this May. Sessions is Sleeper Magazine's meetings forum, where essentially specifiers meet with suppliers of hotel FF&E. There's a lot more besides, with a sustenance program offering activities for mental and physical well-being, plus a symposium of talks with a difference that Dimitris will kick off. Today, we will explore what drives K-Studio's approach, the importance of pergolas and building less, collaboration and user enjoyment, and what the future holds. I'm Guy Dietrich, Editor-at-Large of Sleeper Magazine, and this is the Sleeper 2022 podcast series. Welcome, Dimitris. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, Guy. Very nice to be here.
Let's start at the beginning, and perhaps you could set the scene for us a little bit, Dimitris, telling us how you got into the architectural practice, the architectural world, along with your brother.
Well, we both grew up with our father being a developer and exposed constantly to construction, and the process of making was something that lured us quite early on. We chose to study architecture in order to kind of answer the question of what to make. So we both went to study in London at the Bartlett, and we were particularly happy to find there a workshop that most of the design process was done through making, and our love for materials and construction techniques kind of grew.
And what was your father developing?
It was a variety, so from residential to commercial, different scales, always in Greece. So we got to be exposed to the kind of process of building new buildings. Our dad had a plan of us joining his construction and development team, and we kind of found ourselves in London working for Will Alsop in 2001. Right after they won the Sterling Prize for the Peckham Library. And the kind of creativity that studio had kind of definitely pushed us towards looking at architecture in a different way. Our dad was disappointed that we wouldn't be joining his team and we would rather kind of do our own thing. But I think in the end, he was happy that we are pursuing something that we would love to do. Coming back into Greece in 2004, right after the Olympics were done, Athens was a place where it didn't need any more buildings. As infamously known, I think the Greek Olympics kind of left a surplus of structures, and we found ourselves kind of in a city that didn't need any new builds. That pushed us towards working a lot with renovation and smaller scale interior projects, and that gave us an insight of the smaller scale, the detailing, the craftsmanship that kind of goes into these projects. Also, the understanding how a project could be more than, an architectural project doesn't have to focus only on the commodity of the building, the real estate, but it can focus on the identity that one kind of tries to design towards. Those early projects definitely gave us the opportunity to broaden our understanding of what we would be interested be doing as a studio. The first kind of tipping point was 2010, where we were asked to do a beach club in Mykonos called Alemagu. It was right on the north side of the island with a lot of wind. And I think one of the challenges was to create a place that embraced that wind and made a canopy hanging loads of dried leaves, dried palm leaves. And that was animated by the wind. And I think that kind of gave us the first opportunity to kind of do something more spatial.
And I definitely see this idea of sort of blending these traditional techniques and traditional crafts, materials, what have you, with a sort of contemporary luxury that I think Alemagu has been the start of the other hospitality experiences that you've created. The studio it practices architecture, hardscape design, and interior design. Maybe just describe what's hardscape design.
As we are Mediterraneans, we usually are designing in places where the weather is quite good and also the landscape is quite welcoming. So we tend to design buildings that are quite unfolded. They kind of stretch out to stitch themselves into the surrounding landscape. So it's quite quite difficult to put a defined boundary between what is internal space and what is external. These are more blurry buildings, so the kind of design process is difficult to kind of stop it at what the structure and the enclosed volume is. That kind of led us to design continuously between internal and external spaces, and of course the space around. And it only made sense to kind of grow that understanding of the greater context. So hardscape design is more about allowing the building to spill over and to connect to the site, really.
And I think we'll hear a little bit more about that when we look at some of your other projects that have taken that really to heart, this idea of building in the land or with the land. Mm-hmm. And I must say, I really enjoy, we can talk about the process of how you do your work, but these axonometric diagrams that you have to explain the layers. This is very much built upon what you see there, and you'll have a 3D kind of vision of the site, and you'll show where the prevailing winds are from and where the sea is and where the view is and this sort of thing. And then you drop these various layers of the whole identity of the project, as you say, on top of each other. How did you come to put that together?
I think as a practice, we feel the responsibility when we are invited into a project to design appropriately for the place and for the program that it is on the brief. And we feel that it is important to respond in a very contextual way to the site, but also in quite a considerate way towards the program. And that led us to, understand very, very thoroughly the site. So as you said, where the wind comes, the axis, the kind of existing elements, might that be a plot with natural features, or might that be an existing building, to understand that in depth. To somehow respond to the program in a way that doesn't just follow the mantra of form follows function, but more to try and go beyond that, to allow us to kind of think of an emotional experience of being there, as well as responding to the needs of the building as well. So it's more about kind of form follows emotion in a way.
I like it. Form follows emotion. Very good. Very good. Let's two of the things I've really seen in your work come through quite strongly is this idea of collaboration with other people and other practices, and also this idea of sustainability. Perhaps we could focus on some of your projects that illustrate that. The first one I was thinking on the collaboration side of things was the Domes zine Charnia on Crete. This was shortlisted in the Head Europe Awards in 2020 for landscape and outdoor spaces, guest rooms and resort categories, and finally went on to win Best Resort in Europe that year. It's a collaboration between, obviously, yourselves, Lambs and Lions, an interior design practice from Berlin with Michael Chigina and Annabelle Cattucci, and Phytron did the landscaping.
Well, we met with Michael and Annabelle when we were asked to join them to develop a project in Mykonos called Scorpios. It was a beach club. And we very quickly found that we work really complementary to each other. And we learned a lot from working with Michael and Annabelle. So that went so well that we thought, well, we understand the value of collaborating with other people that can add layers to the design process. And definitely that's what happened with Annabelle and with Michael. Then Michael invited us. He developed the Casa Cook brand with for Thomas Cook. And as he had already worked with Annabelle on two other Casa Cooks in Kos and in Rhodos, they were planning one in Hania. And they invited us to do with them the master planning and the architecture design. We immediately jumped on the opportunity. We loved the idea of developing the Casa Cook brand with them. The plot is kind of a rolling hill ending up onto the beach, and with Michael we were kind of inspired by the modernistic architecture that pre-existed in the 50s and 60s throughout Greece, and we thought that it also made sense for the site as these buildings kind of wanted to connect to the view and to the outdoors and blur the boundaries between in and out. And that's where we felt the strength of this project lied. At the same time, it was a dense program. We needed to fit a lot of things. So we kind of somehow combined the modernistic principles of light structures and connected indoor and outdoor spaces with the more dense and traditional Cretan villages. So in a way, we kind of thought of we could make a modernistic village on the hill rolling down to the beach. And the result is, well, pretty much that. It's a series of cabanas or bungalows that are defined by the clear elements of walls and slabs kind of all piling on top of each other quite clearly, and also in the kind of modernistic ethos of nakedness. So everything that's made out of a certain material also is what the finishing surfaces. So slabs of concrete sit on top of dry stone walls and exposed metal features that form the envelope are the final, they form the final envelope.
Thank you for that that detailed illustration there of the sort of work you do, award-winning work, no less. Let's talk about a project on Mykonos, which is where we'll be holding sleeper sessions. And this is a more recent project, Kelesma. Could you explain the collaboration there? That was that is with Studio Banarchy and Vangelis Bonios.
We were really excited when we were introduced with Vangelis. We had already met a couple of times, and we had seen his work, and we got really excited that we could explore this project together. Vangelis is a very talented interior designer, and we felt that we could make something quite unique by collaborating, the two studios collaborating. Kalisma is definitely a project that came up from the collaboration, not just of Vangelis and ourselves, but also the owners. One of the owners owned the plot, well, his parents owned the plot, and that was the family house for many, many years. And he was very emotionally connected to that. He had a lot of personal memories and stories about the place. So the first thing was walking around what is a hillside, which has unique, it's a unique place where you can have both views towards the east and the west. So you can see and follow the sun all the way from sunrise to sunset. That duality of that hill kind of immediately sparked a lot of conversation between the three parties, the owners, Studio Bonarchy, and ourselves. And kind of a language of contrast was born. Vangelis's work celebrates a lot of dark materials alongside more lighter tones. And we love to see how we could play with natural materials that are rooted in the vernacular of the island. So immediately we started talking about lime wash walls and dark wood that with a nod to a technique that they use in the building the caiquia, the traditional fishing boat, where they burn the wood in order to dry it out and for it to be more durable in sea conditions. So that kind of thing immediately started us playing with materials, talking about ideas. We wanted to definitely reference traditional design of Mykonos. We wanted it definitely to be a Mykonian design, but at the same time, we understand the opportunity that you have with a new structure, and especially with an ambitious project like a resort in Mykonos. I think that we liked to push to differ, but not with going away from Mykonos, but rather going back. So the white that you see now on the Cycladic Islands is the result of plastic paint. And this, of course, has that stark white, that brilliant white that ends up being, well, you need sunglasses when you go out in the morning. That white comes from lime wash. Lime wash is a much more translucent layer that is put on top stone or lime render, and it has definitely a depth and an off-whiteness to it. Also, it ages with the salty air and the strong sun. So it definitely has a softer finish to it. Also, the woods that you see on the islands, again, are the result of quite a lot of coating from polyurethane coats. We felt that it would be really interesting to go back into the traditional techniques of oiling the wood, burning the wood, in order to bring out something that was, in a way, more traditional. So we didn't want to make something different that was brought from somewhere else. We just went back in order to go forward.
And these local materials all hint and push towards this idea of sustainability. One of the key projects there I see of yours with regard to that, or illustrates that very well, is Dexamenes. Tell us a little bit about the sort of sustainable elements in that project.
Well, Dexamenes is a special project because we found an existing structure which had its own history, wine factory that was left to ruin for half a century. And when we got there, we found quite a lot of beauty in that. And beauty not in the sense of beautiful, but of interest and richness. So that kind of pushed us towards thinking quite carefully of what to take out and what to bring new. And I think that's, in a way, where sustainability has to start. It's not so much only to do things in a sustainable way, but maybe start by thinking, well, can I do less? Because I think sustainability starts with how much you do in the first place. I think there is something to say about needing less of a building or doing less to an existing structure and taking advantage of what is already there. We were very lucky with this project because what was there was of great interest, and we treated it as if it was a really precious material. The weathering that was on the walls took 100 years to make. So in a way, it was the most precious material that we could find.
These were concrete tanks, thick walled tanks for storing bulk produced wine, so it could be right on the beach to be shipped to boats. And taken off for sale. I mean, this is a very industrial-looking lump of concrete, or two lumps of concrete, with these massive, great steel drums in the middle between the two series of concrete bunkers, if you like. Is this really beautiful? Is this really a thing that's worth preserving?
I think that's it's worth kind of going into the understanding of what is beautiful and what is not. I think. Interesting and attractive is something which is quite important when it comes to understanding beauty. I think it's more important about if it is appropriate, if it fits there, or if it makes a comment of a certain kind, rather than going into what is generally beautiful. I think what might be beautiful for one place will be ugly for another. For example, if we were to take a Cycladic village and put it in New York, I think it would just not be beautiful because it would be fake. I think if it's real, it's beautiful. If it's appropriate, it's beautiful. If it is of real interest, if it has heritage. So this was the conversation that kind of sparked that conversation about beauty when we were invited in the examiners. And just to paint the scene a little bit, we arrived in the plot, which was right in front of this beautiful, idyllic beach. And by beautiful, I mean the typical postcard kind of sandy beach stretching for kilometers into the west-facing, sun-setting kind of part of the Peloponnese. And right in front of it is this, well, out of human scale structure, as you described it, with these two big concrete blocks set in parallel to the beach in order for easy access from the boats to come in and take the grape juice and take it over to other countries and sell it for wine. And with these two big silos, which as we kind of arrived, everything was left. Well, it was built a century ago, and it was left for at least half of that century just to rot. And it was just sitting there, and you immediately felt that calmness that this building had. This building sat and looked at the sun rise and sunset right in front of it for more than 50 years, allowing the salty air to kind of brush against the concrete walls and bring that unique patina. Also, it made beautiful holes in the metal structure, creating almost a little lacy kind of final texture and pattern to it. And, this was not what you expect to see on that pristine, beautiful, sandy beach, but it was definitely something that carried so much strength and richness, which you couldn't but be attracted to it. And I think that that moment of understanding that uniqueness of that building was also the moment where we felt we need to preserve it as much as possible.
The most sustainable thing to do is actually not to destroy what's there, but to reuse it and to repurpose it.
Absolutely. I think
what you did with the doorways, for example, these concrete tanks, you've basically chopped a lump of concrete out to make the door to get into these tanks, which have now become the guest rooms. But you didn't even then just throw the slab away. You used that slab as stepping stones for a water feature around these two silos. It's quite incredible the level to which repurposing, reuse, etc., recycling was taken. I think people need to get out there and take a look for themselves, really. Another of your projects I'd like to talk about briefly with regard to sustainability is another project that was shortlisted at the Head Europe Awards in the restaurant category. This is the Helios restaurant, at something slightly different, an established resort with the Four Seasons Astea Palace just outside of Athens.
We are lucky and unlucky to be invited to work on really pristine places that are already amazing in their natural beauty and in their location. And this comes, well, lucky because, well, in a way, you don't need to do much. It's more about what you don't do rather than what you do do and how you preserve that beauty of the place. But also, it is also quite a big responsibility. You can't mess it up. I mean, you can't do something to put something that doesn't belong there or take out something that already is happy there. I think, and at the same time, these are ambitious projects. Four Seasons wanted to make something which definitely had an elevated comment, an elevated experience of being there, not just amongst the rocks, that there's this beautiful local red rock that lies all around the coast. And the first thing was, how can we build around it? How can we use that roughness against the new structure? Right behind the area where we were asked to do the restaurant, there is a building built in the 1950s by De Cavallas, who is quite a celebrated architect, a modernist here in Greece. And it has quite an imposing grid, stepping facade, very gridded, specific, orthogonal, almost brutal kind of appearance. And we wanted to connect to the landscape, but we also wanted to connect to the heritage of the building. So we kind of borrowed the grid of the building, we kind of juxtaposed it onto the natural landscape, and there's these characteristic planters, these planters that are on the balconies of the building. And we almost notionally wanted to slide them out like little drawers and create the pergolas of the building in front in a way to extend the building over the landscape. We always try to see things in a compositional way, quite elemental. So how the rocks can sit under the new structure that sits on top of it. So there is almost a physical understanding of the compositional process of how one thing goes on top of another. And this kind of elemental approach to our composition lends itself to being understood quite clearly.
And there, the sustainable bit for me is the fact that you didn't destroy everything that was there and just put the slab concrete in all over the ground. You used what was there already, the rocks that were there, the trees that were there, and built this sort of this pergola structure, one of your favorites, as an extension of this or a modification of this modernist architecture that was already there. Let me ask you this question. If you weren't doing what you are doing today, what would you be doing?
Well, from quite a young age, I kind of decided I wanted to be an architect, probably brainwashed by my father. So I never had that question. I think because of my love for making, I'd probably be using my hands to make this, that or the other, either sculpture or furniture, things that definitely have to do with crafting.
Very good. And thanks to you, we have a primal pit-firing ceramicist joining us as part of our sustenance session the sessions, sleeper sessions in Mykonos in a few weeks' time. So thank you for that contact. You're coming along to join us there. What are you most looking forward to about sleeper sessions?
Well, I'm very excited to connect with everyone there. After quite a long gap, we get the opportunity to meet up with people of the industry and get reconnected, but also to keep up to date. So I'm really looking forward to meeting all the different company representatives, learning more about their new products. I think this is one of the key things that we do as a studio. We try to stay up to date.
Absolutely. You'll definitely get to meet some new suppliers, that's for sure. You're also our keynote speaker as part of our symposium program. We've asked you to put Greek architecture into context. How are you going to do that?
Well, thank you very much for inviting me as a keynote speaker to start with. Thank you for also challenging me to put 4,000 years of history in 45 minutes. That's going to be fun. I think people might be overwhelmed by that. But at the same time, I think it is very important to put things in context. So to be able to go through the heritage of Greek design, I think it's very important to actually understand what's happening in Greece. Super. Now.
Yeah, I mean, I can see what you're going to, hopefully what you'll be doing is giving, you know, people like me a big overview and then slowly focusing more on the hospitality side of things, hospitality design in the Mediterranean, in Greece, and in particular with some of your projects, obviously. And talking of your projects, let's wrap this up with a little look to some of your future projects. I've got three in mind, for a couple for big brands, and one called Manna in Arcadia, which is in the middle of the Peloponnese at 1,500 meters. Maybe we can start with that one and then talk about the other two after that.
Well, this is an amazing structure built in early 1920, I think, which was a sanatorium. It was built there in the middle of the forest, and it stopped working as a sanatorium, I think, in 1940. It is one of the first structures to use a mixed construction technique with stone and concrete, and it sits there right in the middle of this pine forest. The owner, Stratis Batallas, he's a very ambitious person who wants to turn this into kind of a contemporary sanctuary. And we are very excited about how this is panning out. We've learned so much from the structure itself. And actually, tomorrow, I'm off to see the pilot room. So I can't wait.
You're a lucky man. Sounds like a great place up in the mountains there. It's not typically Greek, I don't think. More sort of Swiss mountainside. Mandarin Oriental are coming to Greece, and you're involved in their first project there at Navarino.
We've been working for Temis with Tobazis Architects for quite a few years now, developing the resort that Mandarin Oriental are going to launch their first hotel here in Greece. And I'm very excited. I think the site is a beautiful bay that looks towards the quite famous island of Sphacteria, which the Navarino battle happened. It's a beautiful bay with natural hills and loads of beautiful Mediterranean landscape with olive groves and cypress trees kind of dotted around. For us, it was a case of just celebrating that landscape. We wanted to draw kind of inspiration from the agricultural heritage of the site, where most of the hillsides are kind of propped up by stone walls. They're called pezules. And by drawing inspiration from that, almost kind of contourify the whole site, and within those contours, these dry stone walls, to start putting all the uses for the building.
That's opening, I think, allegedly spring 2023, so about a year's time. Plenty to do there, I'm sure. And finally, another large brand, One and Only, are doing something, Asteria Glyphidas, just south of Athens. I'm sure you can pronounce that correctly for me.
Asteria Glyphadas. This is another project that was developed originally in the 1950s by the National Bank of Greece and the National Organization of Tourism, when it was trying to kind of reinvent the identity of Greek tourism. And they got all these, at the time, young modernist architects to do these very ambitious projects along the south coastline of Greece, what is now known as the Athenian Riviera. The site is quite an extensive beach of a sort. It is about 200,000 square meters with a beautiful forest in the middle of it, and also around it several parts of the coastline are beach or rock. And it sits right in front of the area of Glyfada. So it's kind of, it's an urban beach. The uniqueness, apart from its location, it's also the existing structures there. The structures built in the 1950s, where most of them were built by wood. And this gave us the opportunity to do a fairly large resort, about 20,000 square meters of structures, all in one level, structures made out of wood. And for us, this was a great challenge and also quite an important exercise towards building with less concrete.
I like the sound of that very much. Look forward to it. It's been fascinating listening to all of the things you've been able to tell us today, and look forward to a bit more of that, as well as obviously 4,000 years of Greek architecture at Sleeper Sessions in May. Case Studio, form follows emotion. I like that very much. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Guy, thank you very much.
Many thanks to Dimitris Karampatakis at K-Studio for joining us for this episode of Sleeper 2022. Post-production is by James Green at Green Podcast Productions, with promotion by Eleanor Howard. I'm Guy Dietrich. Thank you very much for listening.